Morning, I want to take some time to look at a familiar incident from Luke chapter 17. We want to consider Jesus' cleansing of the 10 lepers. To give us context, I'll begin reading from the first verse of Luke chapter 17 and then down through to the end of that account. Hear then God's word. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the ones through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at the table'? Will he rather not say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty.'" On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you had given it to us that we may know how to live lives before you in the thanksgiving. We pray that you would make us hearers of your word and doers of your word. I pray that I say this morning would honor and glorify you and build up the body of Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, this morning, I will challenge us with this theme. We are called to live lives of thanks living. We are called to lead lives of thanks living. And the two main points that I want to hang this on this morning from our passage is the fact that the Lord in his mercy cleans us from uncleanness. And secondly, the Lord in his mercy cleans us from uncleanness. What would it take for you to fall down on your face before someone in thankfulness? You see, it's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of what my background is. It's not a matter of how little I have or how much I have, how much God has blessed me. It's a matter of actually understanding what God has saved me from. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus was always on the way to Jerusalem. That's why he came. The incidents that happened in his walk upon the face of the earth weren't accidents. They were incidents to teach us lessons. They were incidents to point people to God and how they should respond to God. On the way to Jerusalem, another dusty, hot trip by foot. You ever have your air conditioning go in the middle of the summer? When we were at seminary, that happened to us once. We had to preach several hours away, and it was quite warm, and the air conditioning went. Driving along at 100, as we'd say, or 50 or 60, if you're in the States, with your windows all down and 8 passengers in the vehicle and the temperature hovering around 30, doesn't really cool life off. The Lord in His mercy sent someone along and said, "You need your air conditioning fixed. Let me help you with that." We're thankful. But the point is it was hot. It was dry, it was dusty, they were on foot again, and they were going towards Jerusalem, passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now, leprosy, often when we see that, we have a defined meaning of the term because of the leprosy that we know of today. We need to remind ourselves what the Bible says, and that is that leprosy was any number of diseases that were said by the priests. These could be contagious and passed on to others, and so these people have to live outside of community. If you want a better understanding of that, I'm not going to take the time because that's all we do this morning. You need to read Leviticus 13, which has only got like 59 verses. But I want to pick a couple of verses out of there to show us how the person who had been declared leprous had to live. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes. And let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So it's not insignificant when it says that there they were, standing at a distance. It's what was required of them. They couldn't approach anybody that was clean. They were forbidden. And they had to cry, and you need to assume that Jesus and his followers heard the voice in the distance. "Unclean! Unclean!" Warning people not to come near. And yet, as Jesus draws near, their cry changes. They recognize him. Perhaps they'd heard stories of this Jesus. He's healed us before. He's healed others. Maybe he'll have mercy on us. And so their cry changes from "unclean, unclean" to "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us. We need to thank God that He has mercy on us. Leprosy is a picture. What was God teaching the Israelites, and what can we learn? we live in a condition of uncleanness. It's been passed down from one parent to the next generation, from one generation to the next generation, since our first parents sinned in the garden. We are unclean. And the first thing that we need to recognize is that in our uncleanly state, God didn't simply turn his back on us and walk away and write us off. He had mercy on us. And Jesus is displaying this mercy in this incident. He reaches out to those who are calling. Was he there by accident? No. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and all this stuff was going to happen on his way there. And this is one of the things that was meant to happen on the way there. One more lesson. God has mercy on those who are unclean. And our hearts should be full of thanksgiving because that means all of us. When he saw them, Jesus said to them, "Well, just show yourself to the priests and they'll tell you whether you're good or not." No. No, he doesn't. He says to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Why would he say that? He was speaking words of healing. He was speaking words of mercy. Go and show yourselves because God in his mercy will make you whole. And as they went, imagine it. It doesn't stretch the story out, but as they went, it simply says they were cleansed. Somewhere between where they were and the priests in town, they were cleansed. Now, I'm just assuming. If you're dressed in rags and walking around saying unclean, unclean for some period of time, it's a visible disease that you're carrying. At some point, these people had to look at themselves and look at each other and realize that something was happening here. God in his mercy has heard our plea. And something is happening to me. Each one of those people had to come to that realization. Something is happening to me. It's outside of me. I had nothing to do with it. He spoke a word. Just like in the beginning, he spoke a word and something happened. He spoke a word. And my body is being recreated here, taking away what was unclean and bringing newness and freshness, healthiness, wholeness. As they went, they were cleansed. They all had to have noticed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. 10. They all noticed, but one turned back. One turned back and he had a new cry on his lips. It doesn't tell us what it was, but it says he was praising God. Maybe he was running back towards Jesus and the disciples going, "Hallelujah! minutes ago he was keeping people away by screaming unclean. It says that he was doing it with a loud voice. He was probably used to calling out in a loud voice, warning people that they were approaching him to keep themselves away. Perhaps he's using even a louder voice, praising God. But God's not just merciful and wants to help us. God is merciful and actually has the power to cleanse us. And he came and he fell at Jesus' feet. What would it take for you to fall at Jesus' feet? Would it take being shown mercy? Would it take being cleansed so that you would say thank you? I read the context because I believe that it's one of a series of lessons. Jesus has just talked about how to interact with one another, about forgiving one another, about having faith. Talking in strange terms about a servant doing his duty. I think that little story about the servant doing his duty is talking about not really grasping on to having gratitude for God. Because the servant only did what was commanded. The lepers show up. 10 are healed. 9 only did what was commanded. Go show yourself to the priest. 1 responded in thanksgiving, recognizing what he had been cleansed from in God's mercy. And there's always a twist. And here's the twist. Here's the knife. Jesus reveals in the story that this one that came back, he was a Samaritan. What? The one who came back was a Samaritan. You weren't supposed to associate with Samaritans. We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Why is it only the foreigner that is praising God? Here's the challenge. Even as God's people, it's all too easy for us to forget about giving thanks. Perhaps we're not rebelling. Perhaps we're only living our lives doing our Christian duty. Doing what was commanded of a servant. The call here is to live our lives differently. Understanding who we are as servants, yes, but understanding God's mercy towards us and his cleansing us from all the uncleanness that is ours. And we need to be falling on our faces before Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. How many people get excited about a football game? Hockey? What's your sport? You ever holler at the TV? Ever watch a movie with someone who is excitable? I had a movie experience like that. I don't go to movies very often. Once I went to a movie with a friend in the theater, and he was an excitable sort. I had to sit him down. My point is we get excited about all kinds of things. Are we that excited about the fact that God in His mercy has cleansed us from all unrighteousness? Are you agitated in your seat? Are you wanting to tell somebody? Years ago, I remember a gospel artist relaying the story of Peter and John witnessing the resurrection. Gotta tell somebody. Gotta tell somebody what Jesus has done. Couldn't not tell somebody. Gotta tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. Do you think this Samaritan went away quietly? He didn't come back quietly. I bet he was an interesting fellow to meet the rest of his life. Hey, did I ever tell you when I met Jesus on the road to Jerusalem? Gotta tell somebody what Jesus did for me. He healed me. He made me whole again. Jesus' response to him is, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Those are incredible words. One, rise ought to remind us of resurrection because that's what it is. You were as good as dead. Rise. You're now alive. Your faith has made you well. You are saved. He was just trying to tell his disciples that if you have faith, as small as a seed, you could tell that bush to be transplanted to the sea. What was he trying to say? We hear a lot of talk about faith. You got to have faith in yourself. You got to just have faith to get by. You got to have faith. You got to have faith in God. You got to have faith in Jesus. That He will do what He says He will do. Be raised from the dead and go your way. Your faith has made you well. We need to live lives not just of thanksgiving, but thanks living. You see, even in Christian circles, it's not uncommon for us to cry out to God in our time of need, in our time of sorrow. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Definitely we should. But it's also really easy for us to get in the habit of doing it only then and forgetting about God when life is going well and forgetting that He is still the God of mercy and He is still cleansing me from all my unrighteousness and leading me on to glory. So that I can set aside the rags that I was living in and be clothed in glory with Christ Jesus. So, we need to live lives of thanks living. I'm going to close, but I'm going to ask us to do something. just to get us started, a reminder as the body of Christ. Let's stand together and let's shout to the Lord like we've been healed, just like a Samaritan leper. Will you stand with me? Let's give the Lord a praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen.